So that's Luke 11, starting at verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you.
Thanks, Helen. Do keep that Bible passage open. We'll be looking at it as we go through. The dark is scary. You don't know what's out there. I'm sure most of us are familiar with that feeling of turning the light switch off and then quickly running upstairs so whatever's in the dark doesn't get you. Or walking down a dark alley and feeling a bit on edge. The dark isn't a comfortable place to be, because we are people who need light to live our lives. We know that living life in the dark is tricky, but many people today live their lives in the dark, in spiritual darkness. If you try to live your life in physical darkness, say you never turn on any light switches, it's not going to end well. You'll keep end up wearing the wrong clothes, stumbling over things you can't see. You'll never find your front door keys. And it's the same for people living in spiritual darkness. It's not going to end well. The dark is a scary place to be. But the good news is that here Jesus is telling us how to avoid living in the dark. Now, Jesus speaks throughout his life about the light and the dark multiple times. And I'm sure there are other things you've heard him say about light and dark from other passages in the Bible. But we've got to be careful to listen to what he's saying here and not just assuming it's the same thing. Because otherwise, we'll miss out. We'll miss out on what Jesus is telling us about how we can avoid living in the dark. Jesus uses the picture of light and dark because it's something his listeners can understand. We today can understand it too. Especially at this time of year, Christmas is a time when we enjoy candlelight in the dark. Jesus uses the illustration of a lamp. Now, I don't have an oil lamp, but there's candles all about church, and we've got some here. So as we get to listen, we will have a physical illustration as well. If somebody's listening to this in a recording in the future, it's just going to be a confusing moment of silence. But I'm lighting some candles. Jesus is telling us how to avoid living in the dark. You see, Jesus has given light. Look at verse 33 with me. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. The basic point Jesus is making here is to use things as they're meant to be used. A lamp is useful for giving light, so use it for light. Make the most of it. Put it on a stand. You'd be an idiot to cover it with a bowl. That's useless. It's not doing anything. It's got no effect, whilst this other one here, prominent, still giving off light. But why is Jesus saying this? If you took just this one verse in isolation, it's quite a good proverb. Use things like they're meant to be used. But it's not in isolation. It's part of Jesus' continued speech to a crowd that's been growing since verse 14. Jesus has just driven out a demon, And then he's responded to the people who accused him of doing it by Satan's power, and then to another group who want him to perform a sign from heaven. And so now, this is Jesus still speaking to the same crowd, but why is he suddenly talking about light? So I think it's helpful if we just read from verse 30 to get a little bit of context for this. Because you see, the heading just before verse 32 isn't part of the original text. It's put in by the translators to be helpful. But sometimes it can suffer seeing the connections about how bits fit together. So I'll read from verse 30 and just look at the text with me. For as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it is hidden, or under a bowl. You see, as Jesus starts talking about light, he's talking about himself. He is the one greater than Jonah. He is the one wiser than Solomon. And he has not hidden himself away. He's not tucked himself in a corner or found a bowl to hide under. He's publicly shown who he is. He has healed. He has taught. He has driven out demons. Jesus is like we heard in that classic Christmas reading from Isaiah chapter 9. He is the one who is bringing light for the people living in the land of deep darkness. And he has not hidden his light. He's cast out demons. He's preached judgment and repentance like Jonah. Jesus is the only sign we need, and the sign we have to follow, and he hasn't hidden his light. He's like a lamp that gives light, and he's used it how it's meant to be used, to bring light to others. But Jesus isn't the only one in this little section with a lamp. As verse 34 says, your eye is the lamp of your body. We each have a lamp of our own, our eye. And we have to choose what we're going to do with it. Are we going to use it rightly, like putting a light on a stand? Or are we going to use it wrongly and hide it away under a bowl? These are the two options that Jesus gives. And he describes them to us as healthy eyes and unhealthy eyes. Jesus has given the light, and healthy eyes take it in. But what is a healthy eye? Healthy eyes see things rightly. That's the defining thing about an eye. And if it's working well, you can see. If an eye is right, if it's healthy, then you can see. When you go to the optician, if you can read all the letters on the chart, even the way down to the little tiny ones at the bottom, your eye is healthy. And that's just what it's like with Jesus. A healthy eye looks at Jesus and they can see. They had the right view of him. They see who he is. They see correctly. Now, not just seeing physically. You don't just correctly see a Middle Eastern man wandering about teaching people some stuff. No, it's having an honest and true spiritual sight. A true spiritual judgment of him. When Jesus talks about the eye here, he doesn't in any way mean physical sight. But what our heart's view of him is. The healthy eye does not disregard or dishonor him, but recognizes him as the God's appointed king and the rightful Lord of all of our lives. Now, the word that Luke writes, that's translated as healthy, has the implication of being single, like a pure metal without any alloy, nothing mixed in. It is purely one thing, focused. A healthy eye is one that not only sees who Jesus is, but is focused on him. It's no good having an eye that can see perfectly well and then looking in completely the wrong direction. Jesus is the one who cast out demons. He's the one wiser than Solomon, greater than Jonah. He's the one worth looking at to learn how we should live. And the healthy eye does just that. A healthy eye has Jesus as their focus. He's the one they trust and follow and want to imitate. So if we have Jesus as the focus of our lives, then we will shape our priorities about his. And his priorities look very different to what we see about us. They aren't money, success, good grades, popularity, or comfort. But God's glory above everything else. And the desire for that shown in love and holiness. So a healthy eye sees Jesus rightly and has Jesus as their focus. And when someone does that, Jesus says, your whole body also is full of light. When someone sees Jesus properly, when the light gets in, it doesn't just change a small part of them, but all of them. When they see the light of Jesus through a healthy eye, their whole life is changed. Like when a light's put on a stand, it illuminates all it reaches. Jesus does exactly the same for anyone who has his light come into their life. Seeing Jesus properly for who he is and having him as the focus of your life changes the whole of a person's life. That's the story we see in Scripture time and time again. Just think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who gave up all of his ill-gotten gains. Or Paul, the one who is hunting down Christians, suddenly became the most famous Christian evangelist ever. But that's not just left in Scripture, that's true for today as well. As people come to see Jesus for who he is, their lives are changed. A few years ago, I heard a man telling his story about how he came to faith. He was a man called Shane, and he had been one of the most violent and dangerous prisoners in Britain. He'd been jailed for attempted murder and a whole bunch of other offences. Whilst in prison, he started a riot and stabbed two police officers. So after that, he was shipped about various maximum security prisons and spent most of his time in segregation. He was so dangerous that they would feed him through a hatch in his door. And when there had to be some human contact for exercise or showers, he'd be guarded by people in riot gear. But then he met a Christian and he started to find out about Jesus. He was doing a course to explore Christianity, rather like Life Explored. And he came to believe. He saw who Jesus was, and he was changed completely. The darkness that was in him was illuminated and removed. His behavior changed so much that not only was he removed from segregation, he was given a trusted job. He was allowed to clean the chapel. And not even only that, but he was moved to a place called enhanced living, where your behavior is so good that you get privileges. Now, Shane works telling prisoners about Jesus. Healthy eyes change people. They see the light that Jesus gives and it illuminates their whole life. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't seen that Jesus truly is who he claims to be, if you haven't got him as the focus of your life, then you're missing out. It's like stumbling around in the dark. Being in the light is way better. And if you are a Christian, but you're still struggling with darkness in your life, with darkness inside of you, with sin, whether that's how you speak, or what your eyes linger on, what you think in the privacy of your own head, or what you do for all the world to see, Then first consider your eye. Is it healthy? The gaze of your heart. Because that is what changes you. If you have your eyes fixed on the light, on Jesus, then he can and will illuminate your life. He will remove the darkness from within you. You can change. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. So in the fight against darkness and sin, look to Jesus. But there's a warning here as well. Because look at the second half of verse 34. When they, your eyes, are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. Jesus has given light, and healthy eyes take it in, but unhealthy eyes block it out. It can be the clearest day outside, bright sunshine, but if your eyes are unhealthy, you can't take it in. An unhealthy eye is like a lamp covered by a bowl. The light could still be in there, but it's not reaching you. An unhealthy eye blocks you from seeing the light. So when it comes to Jesus, having an unhealthy eye means you don't see him rightly. It's the opposite of a healthy eye. Imagine it's like you're seeing someone and you have cataracts. You know there's a person over there, but you can't really make out the detail. You know something about him. He's a good teacher or something like that. But you don't really know all the rest. Or maybe you're short-sighted. You've heard of Jesus, but you've never got close enough to see him. He's always in the background over there looking fuzzy. Unhealthy eyes are a real problem. That's true for our physical eyes, but even more important for our spiritual eyes. The word unhealthy, it's actually putting it rather weakly for the word Luke uses. The word here is wicked or evil, which is shocking, right? When your eyes are wicked, your body also is full of darkness. And that tells us something more of what having unhealthy eyes is like, because Luke has used that same word earlier in this chapter. He's told us about some wicked things already. If we look at verse 26, it's talking about an evil spirit coming back to overpower someone after it had already left that same person. It says this, "Then it goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first." Having unhealthy, wicked eyes that don't see and acknowledge Jesus for who he is, that's the same sort of badness as the character of evil spirits. It is wrong to not rightly acknowledge Jesus. It's like putting a lamp under a bowl. But worse than that, actually, it's not just stupid, it's evil. Now look at verse 29, where Jesus uses that same word again. "As the crowd increased, Jesus said, 'This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah.'" Some of the people Jesus was speaking to were demanding a sign. And they refused to acknowledge the one who stood before them as who he was, even after he'd just cast out a demon. That's what it's like to have wicked eyes. They refuse to see the truth about Jesus, no matter what is put in front of them. Unhealthy eyes refuse to see the truth about Jesus. They cover his light with a bowl so it doesn't affect them. And that's how they'll be, unaffected by Jesus' light. And instead left in the dark with a body full of darkness. A body full of darkness means a life lived with no light, no knowledge of what is best to do. It means a life in the dark, groping about, trying to find meaning, trying to find lasting happiness in a world which is broken. And that is where so many people in our world are at. Imagine a chef in a kitchen with no light at all. All the ingredients are there, all the tools are there, but the chef has covered up the one source of light in the room with a bowl. Now they start cooking. They grope about in the pitch black, and they hope they've got the right ingredients. They cut themselves on sharp knives that they can't even see. They put too much salt in the food. They ruin it. Every now and then, they might make something which tastes nice, but their blunderings in the kitchen have no overall purpose. That is what life with a body of darkness is like. You may find some good things. You may occasionally find a recipe that works. But living in God's world without his light is foolish. Living in God's world without Jesus is wrong. And ultimately, it means condemnation. Like as the Queen of the South and the men of Nineveh stood up at the Day of Judgment to condemn that wicked generation, people with those same wicked eyes today face that same fate. When Jesus returns to judge the world, they will live in the darkness that they have chosen. Darkness, the absence of Jesus' light, the absence of his presence, and for all eternity they will face that darkness of God's judgment because their wicked eyes refused to see Jesus' light. Because of this truth, Jesus gives one command in this passage. Look at verse 35. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Make sure you haven't rejected Jesus' light. Don't hide him under a bowl, because this really matters. If you are still undecided about Jesus, take his warning seriously. See to it that the light within you is not dark. Because you might be able to trick yourself that it isn't all too dark inside. But if you don't acknowledge Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord, then in reality your life is lived in the gloom. If you've been viewing Jesus like someone with cataracts or short-sightedness, come closer to Jesus. Look at him more closely, because he can help you see. He's the one who heals the blind, and if you see him for who he is, then your eyes will be healthy. Your life will be lit up and you will have light. You'll be able to see in this dark world. And if you are someone who has seen who Jesus truly is and trusted in him, then your ultimate end is not darkness but light, with Jesus forever. The beautiful hope of being with the one who is the source of all light and all goodness forever. But the future of eternity isn't the only place where change takes place, because those full of light are visibly changed. We heard that story about Shane earlier, and it's true. The final verse of this passage says this: therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. When your eyes are healthy and you've been filled with the light that comes from Jesus, when your life has been changed, it's visibly different. Visibly different in this dark world. People whose lives are full of light and empty of dark will look different. They will look like lights in this dark world. There will be people who give off light, the light with which they have been filled. In the dark of the night, the moon is obvious. It shows the sun, the light of the sun reflected off it as something bright set amidst a backdrop of black. That's how Christians can be. That's how you can be now. As we are changed, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, that will show. Christians are given the Holy Spirit to dwell inside them, to make them more like Jesus, more like the one who is the light of the world. Make us more like people who have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And as people like that, we will stand out in a world which is self-seeking, in a world where even our leaders are liars, where the people we look up to so often let us down, where on the news we see hatred, violence, envy, and evil. Someone who looks more and more like Jesus will be a light in the dark. And we know that the dark is a scary place. People in our world are born into this darkness. They live their lives defined by it. But when there's a light, that's still something they want. And more importantly, that's still something they desperately need. So as followers of Jesus, we are called to have healthy eyes, to keep looking at Jesus, keep seeing him for who he truly is, and having him as our focus, to have his priorities for our lives. When we're like this, it will show. The dark is scary. We don't know what's out there. We know the feeling of fear of the unknown that it brings. The dark isn't a comfortable place to be. We are people who need light in our lives. So if you haven't received that light for yourself, hear Jesus' warning and see to it that the light within you is not darkness. You've got a choice to make. Which of these will you be? Will you be healthy or unhealthy? Like a lamp on a stand or covered by a bowl. But if you have the light that Jesus gives, then what a joy. What a great joy. That is the light we need in this dark world. We don't need to grope about helplessly in the dark, making up our own meaning. Give thanks to God, brothers and sisters. And make that light your heart's delight. It's a wonderful privilege to have been given it. That's the great joy of Christmas that we celebrate. Let me pray now. Thank you, Father, that Jesus has given light, that he came into the world, that we need not grope about in the darkness, but that we can know you, and that we can have lives which are lit up by his light. Please, would you give us all healthy eyes, eyes that see Jesus for who he is and desire him to be the focus of our lives. We ask all this in his name. Amen.